Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and welcome to Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. I am your host, and this show will go on for approximately 30 minutes. Today was Mother's Day, or should I say yesterday? This is Monday morning now, May 9th, 2016. And yesterday, Sunday, was Mother's Day, and it was a great day overall, but I watched a TV show that was kind of depressing, and of course some news that I saw over the internet and also things I heard on television. And I think I felt a little bit depressed, and I didn't know why most of the day, but it kind of stuck with me. And it was multiple things that came to my attention that caused this feeling of feeling down in the dumps or having the blues. And so I decided to pick on one, which is, of course, Donald Trump, which everyone seems to be talking about. One of the things that bothered me today, Mother's Day, or yesterday Mother's Day, about Donald Trump was the fact that he called Hillary Clinton an enabler for taking back her husband after he had discovered, after she had discovered he had had affairs with Monica Lewinsky and multiple other people who came out of the dark and talked about things that had happened and sued him and had lots of bad publicity. And he felt that she should have dumped him and gone on. Well, it clearly shows he has no understanding of women. First of all, I was really upset that he did this on Mother's Day weekend. Here she is running for the office of President of the United States, the first woman to get this far. We, of course, know Shirley Chisholm of New York ran for the presidency, black female, years ago. But, of course, she didn't have the support of the party, of any party, and she didn't make it. She wasn't considered a viable candidate. But here's Hillary Clinton, a viable candidate, gotten so far, and then on Mother's Day to call her an enabler for choosing to stay with her husband and keep her family together. If Hillary had chosen to leave the marriage while Bill was president or something like that, she would have become a forgotten person in history. She never would have been able to make it to her position now as a viable contender for the presidency of the United States. And she might have ended up even killed if somebody felt that she was hurting the career of Bill Clinton or somebody else. You know, like Lady Di. Lady Di was a pain in the butt to the royal family, and she died. She died in a car crash. It was all very suspicious. So nothing's impossible. And strength that Hillary showed in staying with the marriage, in voicing her anger at the bad actions of her husband during those years. And she wasn't quiet. I mean, she confronted him in the privacy of their home quarters in the White House. It was said she threw something at him. I was told a phone. And he did show up the next day with a bruise on his head that lasted for quite a number of days, which can lead to some credibility that she threw a phone at him for how stupid he was acting as president of the United States. And she went on to become, you know, a senator and do all kinds of great things, Secretary of State, and to say she was an you know, to reduce her to an enabler, I thought was just very disrespectful for any mother, for all she has done for her family to keep her wonderful daughter, Chelsea, who's highly educated, very upright, a good mother. She just had a grandchild. So Donald Trump just has really bad timing. He doesn't think. Nobody would call out a mother on Mother's Day weekend and start speaking trash about her. And then Donald Trump has his own garbage. You know, he's been married several times. The story is that he divorced Marla after she was accused of having sexual relations with her security agent. Don't know if it's true or not, but that's what people said. And so he divorced her through her Marla and the daughter, Helpador, and then he went off and found his newest wife that he has a son with. So what all, you know, he is a private citizen, of course. The Clintons were public figures, so all of their garbage was out daily in the news, and anything that Trump did as a private person who was into the construction business was kept quiet, and so we don't really know what his garbage is, but it will all come out sometime or another in the future. And the fact that they were calling each other's names and they're reducing this election to marital affairs or anything like that just really makes me very sad and makes me wonder if he understands the seriousness of the office that he's running for. Sure, he can answer questions and so forth, and he has some good explanations for the questions that he answers, but it's much more than that. He will be representing our country to all countries abroad, and he will be making major decisions for all Americans and for people from other countries who deal with America. Donald Trump never served in the military, neither did Hillary Clinton, but in the era that Hillary Clinton grew up, women were not encouraged, if you were highly educated, to sign up for the military. And so her not to be involved in the military was normal for a female, but men were being recruited or enlisted during a time that Donald Trump grew up, and yet he was able, because of his wealth, to stay out of the military and to make money, made a lot of money while soldiers were fighting in Vietnam and Iraq and Iran and so forth. I mean, Afghanistan and so forth. And so, you know, what is his commitment as far as standing up for the United States? What is he really willing to sacrifice? I don't know. And I really had that question in my mind, and I really didn't question or think too deeply about it because I figured it would all come out in the months to come. But I was upset when on Cinco de Mayo, very festive holiday that I always celebrate with happiness and enjoying the multicultural atmosphere we have here in California. And Donald Trump, of course, who says, you know, was calling the Hispanics or the Mexicans, you know, drug sellers and killers and murderers and lazy and so forth, had the nerve to eat at a taco bowl, and while eating it, did an advertisement for Trump Plaza and said everybody should go to Trump Plaza because the best taco bowls are at Trump Plaza. He was a commercial, and that really made me sad. I'm again wondering, does he think this is just a chance to advertise his personal business, his personal construction, to make himself more money, you know, somebody who gets into government just to earn more money is going to lead us all astray, because there are lots of opportunities for corruption. We know that building industry has a lot of corruption, a lot of mafia contacts. I don't know anything about Donald Trump's mafia contracts, but the construction industry is well known for that. So I don't know what his mafia ties are. I don't know how much of a serious candidate Donald Trump is. So I thought this evening, as I was trying to lift my spirits, I thought one of the things Donald Trump could do is go visit the Middle East, where our troops are fighting and where many troops fought in the past and where many troops lost their lives or lost body parts or became disfigured or suffered mental trauma that they'll never get over. Go to the Middle East, address our troops that are serving there, and give them a speech of encouragement, and put yourself in the place where Americans died, and then show your courage to stand up for America, to be a leader, and then come back and continue your campaign, and we can see, are you a leader, or are you just a talker? Now, back in the old days when, in Rome, when people wanted to become, to take over the leadership, they were required to go out and serve in the military, and they would go out for a military campaign of at least months, and sometimes a year, 2 years, 5 years, with the troops, and fight next to the troops, or at least lead the troops into battle, and then come back, and then they could claim that they had leadership abilities, that they were able to get troops to follow them, and that they were able to be on the throne. And I think we need something similar to that. Hillary certainly has proven herself as a person who was willing to go into these hot spots around the world, talk to leaders face-to-face, answer their questions directly, have everything reported, and have us evaluate how she did. We haven't seen that with Donald Trump, and I think we need to see some statesmanship. Certainly we know he has business experience. We know he knows how to build a big building. We know that he has tall buildings. We know that he has a lot of buildings named after him or his adopted name. His name used to be Drumpf, and then his father or grandfather changed it to Trump. And so the Trump name is everywhere. But we need to see something like that from him. And we also know that Donald has a tendency to want to and does hang out in places like Romania and Belgium and so forth. And that's, he tends to bring his wives in from abroad. And so Melania, to me, reminds me of, what was that guy? Moose and Squirrel, Natasha. You know, she has a very heavy, like, Romanian-type accent. Could be Eastern Europe, I guess you would call that. And she's, you know, she doesn't stand. And I'm not saying she's not American. I don't know anything about her. I don't know anything about Melania. But when you look at her, she doesn't bring a picture of America, although America can be many things, and Melania is one of them. But we just need more from Trump. I think campaign, we have to find out, you know, how much is he willing to risk? How much is he willing to go out and stick with the troops? How much is he willing to travel into these hot spots if needed, and bolster the morale of the troops, and just show where exactly, who he is, and what does he stand for, And I don't think winning the presidency using bullying or gossip or name calling is the way to go. I think he has to be more statesmanlike. He certainly can get a lot of attention using the name calling, calling Hillary all kinds of names. Certainly women have always been kept out of politics because people who didn't want them in politics would call them names. They would call them old. I've heard Hillary called old by people in the Middle East who didn't like her coming over and trying to settle disputes, so they would use that. And in the Middle East, of course, they marry women very young, so that someone Hillary's age would be not seen as a attractive woman, and so they, you know, call her names to insult her and to make her feel less than. But that's not the way for us to go. In the United States, we are trying more and more to value women over 40. We have a history of devaluing women once they hit 40 and then hopefully getting them out into nowhere land and kind of stifling their careers and ending their careers and putting them in the house and, you know, counting them as almost dead, and even withholding, you know, medical care from older women, giving them substandard medical care, lots of things. And that's not the way we want for the future. We've had that history, and we want to move beyond it. And so that's what I'm going to say about Donald Trump. You know, we really just need more from him, and I think a trip to the Middle East by Donald Trump to talk to the troops, a trip to Mexico and maybe South America to see what's going on in those areas, because a lot of our farm workers come from Mexico on a regular basis, and they work in that hot, hot sun. I tell you, when I go past those fields on a very hot day, I'm often driven to think of the days of slavery when people, of course, didn't get paid. They were slaves, and they were told to get up around 4 or 5 in the morning. They worked all day carrying heavy bundles in the hot sun and came home when it got dark and then had a quick meal, went to bed, and then repeated the same thing the next day. The people who work on our farms just recently, within the last year or two, were given shade. I mean, they didn't have shade out there. They were working hard, and the sun was beating so hard that even a few minutes in the sun was very difficult for me to tolerate. And I just admired that these people could do it. And the memory or the thoughts of what the slaves went through, it's just astonishing and very shocking. So I don't appreciate calling people who are doing our hard labor that no American would ever do, especially for the pay they were getting. Now, we have had an increase in pay. They have been able to get shade. They have just put out water for these people. And one of the things that made this change happen is a young girl who was out there, and she was pregnant, and she died, the mother. As she was pregnant, she died in the field because she was working in the heat and she wasn't given shade, she wasn't given water, she wasn't given rest and all the other things that she should have had. She probably wasn't even given adequate medical care to follow the growth and the progress of her pregnancy. So I think he needs to visit these people. He needs to visit and stand out in the field with these people and talk about what their contribution to the United States is. He needs to visit some foreign countries, not as a billionaire contractor, but as a statesman and go out and visit regular people, not visiting just multimillionaires, and visit various cities to discuss building new buildings in their countries, but to meet the rank and file, the average person, and see what's going on in these countries. I see these things, you know, of course, like most of us do, on television. I might watch The Amazing Race or a documentary or public television and see stories about various areas around the world. But I'm not running for president of the United States. And I think if I were doing that, once I realized I was going to be a real candidate, I would make a trip to some of these countries and see exactly what people are feeling and be able to discuss on a different level what's needed and what we can do. And to meet with some of the experts in the field who've been to these countries. Now, Bernie went to he was given an invitation by the Pope to come to Vatican City to meet the Pope, and Bernie rushed out. Now, Bernie's, getting $29 or $100 from a lot of people who, many of whom feel that that's a big donation and may not have a lot of extra money to give, and he took his donation money and went off to Vatican City, spent at least 2 days there. The first day he came and he tried to act like a big superstar and tried to create a lot of commotion about his candidacy for president. And the Pope was too embarrassed to see him. And Pope didn't even want to see him the first day. The second day Bernie was there, he stood in with a group of people, regular people, on the line that watched the Pope pass, and the Pope just came over and shook his hand or something, and Bernie kept trying to interpret the invitation to come to Vatican City as a interest in his campaign to be the president. The Pope, on hearing this, said anyone who thought that he had invited Bernie Sanders to Vatican City as a political move needed to see a psychiatrist. Now, that, I think, is just shocking. The Pope saying that somebody needs to see a psychiatrist, and it's Bernie, who's always talking about fighting against influencing political figures and resisting powerful people and big money and so forth. And he fell right into the whole thing. I mean, he's all talk. He's all talk, and he's just in it for his ego and self-grandiosity. And he showed it by this ridiculous trip to the Vatican City, wasting the money of all of those people who were supporting his presidency. So, Bernie didn't need to visit Vatican City. Where Bernie needed to go, also, he should have gone to, I don't know if Bernie's ever been to Iraq, or if he's ever been to Afghanistan, or if he's ever been to Syria, or any of these places where our troops are fighting. But if he hasn't, Bernie needs to go there too, and show that he's willing to follow the poor and not just run after the Pope and other billionaires around the world. So anyway, Howard Stern came out, and I'm going to deviate now, another woman, Kelly Ripa. Howard Stern came out and said, she did the wrong thing by leaving and not showing up for work. And I agree totally with that. I think, most of us are struggling. We have our good days, we have our bad days, and then our bad days are not as fabulous as Kelly Ripa's bad days. Now, she makes, according to, I believe Howard Stern said, she made $20 million. Now, she only works an hour a day. You know, she has other times she works putting together the show for the next day and discussing a hot topic and, you know, so forth. But she makes $20 million a day. And so I think none of us really want to hear about her griping about losing a co-host when she's making that kind of money. She needs to keep that quiet. She needs to take care of it with her, with Gelman and the people from ABC and so forth, and quit trying to blame poor Michael Strahan, who is new to the business. He doesn't make on that show as much, and he doesn't have the relationship. Gelman's been with Kelly for the whole time she's been there, and the ABC bosses, of course, hired her and then promoted her after Regis left. And so they're the ones who should have been keeping her in the loop as to what's going on with her job, not Michael Strahan, who's new, he's young, he has young kids, he's trying to get a strong foothold for the next 10 to 20 years for himself, and he knows these people can fire him in a second. And then Kelly came out and said she felt, you know, after talking with ABC, that they said that they were, they were dedicated or something like that to her show. You know, and if she believes that for a second, she's crazy, because they bring in new people, they toss out people all the time. For all of my life, for all of your life, for all of the years Kelly has seen television, she's seen people of all levels come and go. And for her to in any way feel that she's going to get different treatment than they've given everyone else over those years, she would have to be nuts. So, again, I predict that Kelly Ripa will probably be gone sometime within the next 4 years just because of her age. You know, she's doing well. She's in her 40s, and we have a history in the United States of tossing out women in their 40s. Kathy Lee and Hoda, I think, are two of the people who managed to kind of come back, and they did that because of Regis, because he was doing so well back then. They brought Kathy Lee back, and then they brought back another person, Hoda, to make her more interesting. But, you know, and then finally they had to merge Kathy Lee and Hoda with the Today Show, because they lost their separate show. And that's what's going to happen to the Kelly Ripa show, whether or not they keep Kelly or whether they put in a new female with a different co-host, who knows? But I just wanted to mention that because, you know, Kelly did, she doesn't understand, oh, she understands, but she just doesn't want to face it, that she's just another entertainer. And although we enjoy her, you know, her time on television is limited, and she will have to move on, maybe go into production, maybe making her own movies or something like that. But they're not going to have her sitting up there forever as she ages into her 50s. I'm almost 100% positive of that. Okay, well, have a nice evening. I will talk to you later. And take care. Bye-bye.